Time to chat many things with one of our favorite guests. Once upon a time, they called James Brown the hardest working man in show business. The Godfather of Soul's got nothing on this guy. He's calling hoops, MLB. Tomorrow, it's Ducks Wolfpack on the Pac-12 Network with our buddies Anthony Heron and Jill Savage. On Twitter, use @RoxyBernstein. Roxy, always great having you. How's life treating you?
Steve, all is great, man. Great to be back up in the Willamette Valley. Beautiful day after, you know, got a little cold this morning, but we're good.
Cold is a relative term at this time
That's
of
true.
Year.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're in Eugene, and this is a big college football town, but you were in Milwaukee this past weekend. Verlander threw the no-hitter. Then Gerrit Cole had 14 strikeouts. So, I mean, it was just an historic sequence. And while the Yankees and Dodgers and the Big Apple in L.A. get a lot of publicity, man, how terrific is that Houston team top to bottom?
They are just such a well-built machine when you look at it. And spending some time with A.J. Hinch Monday prior to the ballgame there at Miller Park, and you can see the joy that he has going to the ballpark, managing that team every day. When he fills out the lineup card, it's guys like Olo Correa's on the injured list right now, but Alex Bregman and George Springer and Jose Altuve and the emergence of Yordan Alvarez. That's an incredibly deep lineup. And then you get to the pitching staff, they have three legitimate aces. When you look at Verlander, Cole, they picked up Zach Greinke at the deadline. And then Wade Miley just happens to be third in the American League in ERA. So, to me, I look at it on paper, and yes, the Yankees garnered a lot of the headlines. I think the Astros are the best team in the American League.
You got me with you. And, you know, even though I'm a New York City guy and grew up a diehard Yankees fan, being my age, I always had kind of a little thing for Oakland, the Reggie Catfish Campaneras teams, and you being a big Bay Area guy who gets to call A's games, I'm trying to tell folks that they really need to be aware of Matt Chapman because, I mean, you see him very frequently. I mean, how special, not only with the glove, but an all-around player this kid is.
He is a legitimate MVP candidate. I know people just see the average. It's right around 260, but in this day and age, Steve, it's not what it's about. When you look at the production, the home runs, the runs he drives in, and the metrics defensively for Chapman and how many runs he saves, it is remarkable. The nightly plays that he makes that are just spectacular, you're going, how the heck did he do that? And there was a stat given to me a few weeks ago. When you look at Matt Chapman, he plays the deepest of any third baseman on average in the history of Major League Baseball. He throws the ball across the diamond on average 86 miles per hour. And that's just on the average. And people try to test him, and they see how good he is. And it wasn't an accident. He won the Platinum Glove last year for the best defender in the American League. And you want to talk about a high school team that had talent? He was at El Toro High School down in Southern California, where he was forced to play third base because they had some dude named Arenado at shortstop. How about that left side of the infield on a high school team?
Wow. Yeah, I've said before that Arenado and Chapman is like going to be Mike Schmidt and Brooks Robinson. Just send them the gold gloves and get on with your lives. That's spectacular. We're talking with Roxy Bernstein, who'll be calling Oregon, Nevada. So Arizona State starts conference play tonight. You called their season opener last week against Kent State, and I get the Golden Flash are kind of subpar, but that freshman quarterback, Jaden Daniels, what were your impressions of that young guy from San Bernardino?
He was impressive, and I think the poise that he showed for a true freshman, starting the opening game and becoming the first true freshman to start at quarterback in Arizona State history in an opener. And he really had that presence about him. Now, we met with Herm last Wednesday before the opener, and he preached to us, look, he's not the Messiah, he's not the Savior, but he's the guy that won the job, and we feel really good about what he can do for us. And that was clear in the way he played in the ballgame Thursday night. And not only are they replacing Manny Wilkins at quarterback, but they also have N'Keal Harry gone. So, yes, there's some experience in the receiving core to help him, but there were some tweaks along the offensive line. Cade Cody, who was supposed to start at center, is out for a while, the broken foot. They started a true freshman, not only a quarterback, but at center as well. So there was a huge adjustment for ASU. And I thought it was an okay game one, but his presence and his poise for being a true freshman starting a quarterback is what really stood out to me.
Now, I know you're a Cal grad, so I want a quick thought on the Golden Bears, of course, coached by Justin Wilcox, whose name around here is obviously, you know, you're talking legendary. Tremendous defense last year, not so much the offense, fell behind UC Davis last week, pulled away to win. What's the word about, you know, settling on Chase Garbers at quarterback, and if, you know, they will be hopefully a more productive offense this year?
Well, unfortunately, Steve, was more of the same in week one, where the offense struggled. It took them a little while to get going. Michigan transfer Kakoa Crawford showed that he's got the ability to maybe stretch the field, which Cal's in desperate need of. Once Garber settled in, I thought he looked okay, but they really had a tough time to get going. They were down 10-0. Now, they fumbled the opening kickoff, and Davis was able to put it in the end zone a few plays later. The defense was very good. But now, stepping into week two, they can't afford to make the mistakes they made last week against UC Davis. With taking on the Huskies up in Seattle tomorrow night, they have no margin for error in that game. They need to come out and play good football. And defensively, Steve, they were terrific last year. I think they can be just as good, if not better, this year, considering the talent level, especially in the back end of that defense.
You've been in town now, obviously, prepping for tomorrow. And, you know, I'm sure you've checked in with the Ducks and you go through your meetings and Oregon's off that gut punch loss. I've shared my history lesson that no team since the BCS has ever lost their opener and made it to the title game or the playoff. But a lot to play for. Roxy, what are you getting being around the guys, the team, the coaches, about the buzz, about their ability to kind of shelve that and move forward?
Well, I was at practice this morning, Steve, and I got a sense of some really good energy from the program, that they're excited about this game tomorrow and getting it going. And anybody who watched the game knew that Oregon didn't finish the deal. And unfortunately, sometimes the best lessons you learn in this game come via the loss. And that's what Oregon has to learn from, is they have to finish the game. They need to play for the full 60 minutes. They didn't do it last week. And to me, they had a real opportunity to put that game away early, and they didn't do it. They let Auburn hang around and let Auburn gain some confidence and some belief that they could win the game, and they came back and did it. And unfortunately for Oregon, it's a tough pill to swallow, but I think that they're focused, they're pretty resilient, and they'll be ready for this ball game tomorrow.
A couple final thoughts for Roxy Bernstein, who will be calling the game tomorrow on the Pac-12 Network. You know, we who live and work here, the analysis is kind of what I call inside the Eugene bubble. You speak with the guys you cover. I'm a big Mario Cristobal guy and believe he was a big-time hire. What strikes you about him entering now just his second season as the head duck?
His demeanor, it's the first thing that really strikes you when you talk to him. How positive he is, and how much he really loves what he does. And just being around in the last couple of years, and one of my closest friends is actually a college teammate of his, so I got to see a little bit of a different side of Mario as well. But the way he cares about what he does and what he's doing, I think is paramount for him, and that's why he'll be successful here. And last week, I think, unfortunately, was a learning lesson for everybody. But I think they'll get better from it. It's just really tough to swallow the way game ended. And not just from the Oregon perspective inside the bubble here, Steve, but also from the conference, because let's face it, the narrative is, and we know what it is about the Pac-12. And right or wrong, that's unfortunately the fight that this conference has right now. And if Oregon was able to get that win, I think it would have helped the league out immensely last week. They showed very well. And they should have won the game, but now they need to respond, and they can't get back what happened last week. All they can do is look forward to tomorrow and the rest of the season.
And lastly, you mentioned this game against Nevada, who just won a nutty game against Purdue. They're an improving program under Jay Norvell. The odds makers have it lopsided, but in meeting with the guys and watching practice and talking with the coaches and players, what are they saying about maybe the kinds of challenges this Wolfpack team might present?
Well, they know it's going to be a challenge. This is a physical football team that's going to come in here and play with a chip on the shoulder. And look, anytime a Mountain West team goes up against a Pac-12 opponent, they feel they've got something to prove. And there's a lot of ties to the Pac-12 on this Nevada staff. You look at the relationship, and certainly between the two programs, well, Penei Sewell and his brother Dave Sewell is going to play linebacker for Nevada, so they could get locked up at some point against one another tomorrow. So there's a lot of storylines with this game, but you talk to, and we did with Marcus Arroyo today, the offensive coordinator, Andy Avalos, the defensive coordinator. They know this is going to be a challenge, and Nevada does some things that are a little unconventional, a little bit different. They need to be ready for that.
Folks, he's Roxy Bernstein. I can't prove it, but I think there are two of him. He'll be on the call with some of our faves, Anthony Herron and Jill Savage. Follow him on Twitter. Use the handle at Roxy Bernstein. Roxy, always great catching up. Your time and insight are much appreciated. Thanks for joining us. And, of course, I look forward to saying hello tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow, Steve. Happy to join you anytime. Thanks for having me.